When I was a child, I was already looking for God. I remember I went to Vacation Bible School, and everyone was working on their crafts, having a good time. But I wanted to know what God was, and the crafts, the arts, they did not hold my interest. And so, 7, 8 years old, I asked the man up front, "What is God? Where is God?" And he pointed to a picture of Jesus, and he seemed a little frustrated. He seemed to want to avoid that question. But he pointed to a picture of Jesus and he said, "There is God." And then he called for a 15-minute recess, and all the children went outside, and he went outside with them. And I was left alone in the room. And I walked over to the picture, and I stared, and I stared, and I stared. And a voice somewhere inside me said, "That's not God. That's a man." And that's all I got. And I went outside and I played with the other children too. But you can see I was already looking. 7, 8 years old. And it was a long time in years between that moment and the moment when I found God. Now, we were all taught, if we grew up here in the West and attended Sunday school, church, we were all taught that if we were on our best behavior and we tried not to sin too much, someday, when we died and left this earth, we would go to heaven, and there we would live forever. And heaven was somewhere up in the sky. Well, I'm old enough that I can still remember when John Glenn got into the space capsule and circled the Earth. He was the man in space. And when he got back, he did not report that he found heaven. Only the vastness of the universe. And for some of us, that shattered our views. Heaven wasn't there, after all. And about that time, I developed a interest in Eastern religions. And so I looked into some of the Eastern philosophies. And there I learned that heaven was not a place in time or space. Heaven was something called nirvana, or satori. Heaven was some sort of state of mind. Well, Well, it looked to be most difficult of attainment. Because as I read it as a teenager, it seemed that I would have to die completely to self in order to have the experience of nirvana. I would have to become so pure, so unselfed, that I could enter the state of nirvana. So free of desire of any kind, that I could attain that state of being. And so the one religion had me waiting until I died and being on my best behavior. And I tried, I really tried. And as a child, I couldn't get very far with it. I did not have the determination or the will. I knew I couldn't be that good. And then as a teenager looking at the Eastern philosophy, I realized I couldn't do it. I could not free myself from desire or any selfish motive. And it seemed I would never attain. And so the first religion had me realizing I would never attain heaven way off there in the future. And the second religion had me feeling I would never attain it way off there in the future. And so neither one worked for me. And I decided that I would not follow either one. But God had other plans. And when I reached the age of 18 or 17, a man I knew gave me a copy of The Art of Meditation. And reading this was the first time at 17 years old that I realized, or that I heard, the kingdom of heaven is within you. You can see that as a child of 7, over the next 10 years, I continued to seek the kingdom. But now, at least at 17 years old, I had been introduced to the concept that the kingdom of heaven is within me. And so I began to read scripture, all scripture, with a different view. No longer placing the kingdom of heaven off in the future, in some future event out here, nor in some future event in here. I began to consider and ponder this idea that the kingdom of heaven is within me. Now, how do I contact it? It seemed to me that nothing else mattered in my life. Nothing. I knew I could not be good enough to earn it, and I knew I could not be unselfish enough to attain it. And so I continued to study. I continued to read and to ponder. Then I went through a very difficult experience. Because at 20 years old, 21, no, this was 19, I was 19 years old. At 19 years old, my wife said to me, "I'm leaving you." And she left me and ran off with one of our friends. Well, this was a crushing blow. This was my childhood sweetheart. And just so we're clear about this, I was not the best person to live with as a teenager. So I suspect that she had some legitimate reasons for wanting to leave. But that's another story. Right now, I'm telling you that it hurt. My world was shattered. And this man that had given me the art of meditation a year and a half before this, he said to me, "Most people would get out of this problem by transferring their feelings to another woman." But he said, "There's no freedom in that. Your freedom will come when you transfer your feelings to God." And so I went home, and I was just desperate enough, just in enough pain and sorrow and grief, to consider seriously how I may transfer my feelings to something I could not see, hear, taste, touch, or smell. And I picked up The Art of Meditation, and I read it late one night, and there was a chapter in there called "For Love is of God." And I thought, maybe my answer is in there. Now, you must know that I was in very, very intense pain, all alone in the house, feeling like a failure. And I read that chapter, and the chapter said, the only way we can love God is by loving His creation, for God and His creation are one. What we surrender, we have. What we hold in the grasp of possession, we lose. To those who live in conscious union with God, serving God through their fellow man, the promise is literally kept. Son, all that I have is thine. You see, it's been 34, 35 years, and I still remember it. What it said. And so I put the book down in my lap that dark night of the soul, and I said, "God, I can't see you or feel you, but I'm going to try to love you by loving your creation." And since I live by myself, I determined I would talk out loud, for there was no one to watch, no one to hear. And I had a plant in the living room, and I started to love that plant. I know it sounds silly, but it was far from silly. And so I got a cup of water, and I said, "Hello, Father, how are you?" And I looked, and I strained to feel the Father in that plant. And I watered the plant, and I said, "There you go." And I had a cat, and it came to the back door, and I opened the back door, and the cat came in. I said, "Hello, Father. Are you hungry?" And I tried to feel the Father in that cat. And I tried to love the Father in that cat. And I fed it, and I pet it. And the next morning I got up, and my mind started in with all these painful pictures. And I said, "Go away. I'm going to love God today." And I looked in the sink, and there was a sink full of dishes. And I went over to the sink, turned on the water, and I said, "Father, I'm going to do these dishes for you. Kind of like Brother Lawrence. I did them the best I could, one by one, talking to the Father the whole time. And there were a few friends that I had, two friends actually, that were concerned. And one of them came over. Well, I knew I couldn't say, "Father, how are you?" They would think I was mad. So I let him in and I said, "Hi, how are you? Would you like a cup of coffee?" And as he responded, I said within myself, "Father, how may I best be of service? Let me give something to you." And I served him a cup of coffee, and we talked, and he had a problem, and he brought it out, and we discussed it, and he seemed to feel better. And as he was leaving, I saw the look of surprise on his face, because he was expecting me to be in a lot of pain, and instead, the problem that he had brought was left on my living room floor. And he said, "Thank you," and I said, "That's okay. Thank God." And something started to happen. Something wonderful started to happen. Because in the days that followed, I lost myself in loving God. At first I had been pretending, but now it had become real. And one morning I got up and I started my day. "Father, what would you like to do today?" Because I realized if I had a new sweetheart, I would call her and say, "What would you like to do?" And if she said, "I would like to go to the beach," we'd do it. And that's how it is when you're in love. And I was in love. And I said, "Father, what would you like to do today? Just let me know and we'll do it. In the meantime, I need to vacuum this floor, so I'll do it for you." And I did my very best. And when evening came, I read a little more from the Art of Meditation, and I sat down and I closed my eyes. And I said, "Father, use me. Let me be your instrument. I love you." And I got quiet. And suddenly there was a feeling, a stirring within me. I felt a presence, the touch of a presence on the side of my face. It was a tingling feeling. And it brought with it a sense of peace. And I realized I was not alone. There really was a Father. And it was right there with me. And I realized that it was right there within me. And I realized that the kingdom of heaven, the realm of God, is within my very being. It had become a living experience. And I suddenly saw that I didn't have to wait for some day when I die to enter the kingdom. And I didn't have to wait for some day when I attained total unselfishness, absolute freedom from all desire, in order to feel that kingdom within me. No. All that had ever been necessary was that I became single-minded, focused, throwing my all into practicing the presence and meditation. It turned out Joel had been right. That is the way he led us, first to practice the presence and then practice meditation, contemplation leading to meditation. My experience bared that out, because I had been practicing the presence by trying to love God and remember God throughout my day and night. And this then led to contemplation, when I would read a little bit and then close my eyes. And this then led to a release, a surrender to that presence, which then led to the actual God experience, or the awareness of the kingdom of heaven, the realm of God, the presence of God within. And so, from the age of 7, when I asked the question consciously for the first time, what is God? 12 years later, at the age of 19, I received the beginning of the answer from a presence within me that whispered, I am God. You be still. I am here. I have always been here. All that was necessary was for you to relax, to rest, to invite me. And I started to see in the scriptures the many ways that this had been said to me. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, I will come in and sup with him. And others like, abide in me, and let me abide in you. And perhaps the most famous, just be still, and know consciously, I within you am the kingdom of heaven. I learned that this presence had many names, and none of the names were important, not one. All that was important was the experience of it. Whether I called it the presence and rested in it, or my Father and felt it, the kingdom of heaven within, at hand, and stood still, or the Christ of my being, and lived as a beholder. The name was not important, and sometimes there was no name at all attached to it, but just the experience itself. And I learned that we had been told the truth, but we had not heard it. Behold, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I had finally located the kingdom of heaven. And right about this time, I went over to visit the man who had given me the art of meditation and had guided and helped me to find at long last the kingdom of heaven at hand. And I said to him, this is wonderful, this is glorious. I am in love with this presence. And he said, I know. He said, can you give a talk with me at this particular church on Wednesday night? I said, well, of course, I'm honored. And I went home saying to God, I hope you have something to say. Wednesday night came, and I got up and shared a little bit about this presence. About 15 minutes worth. And I sat down. And my friend, who was the main speaker, after a short intermission, got up and began his talk. And about 5 minutes into his talk, he looked down at the podium where he was standing, and he dropped over onto the floor and passed away. Everyone was in panic. Some people cried, "Call an ambulance." And I went around the corner where no one could see me. And I sat down, all 19 years old of me, and I got as quiet as I could. And within my being, I heard the words, "Behold, I shall make all things new." And that was the last time I ever saw my friend on earth. Yet, if he had made that transition 2 months before, perhaps I would never have found this kingdom. He stayed on earth just long enough to introduce me to the actual living presence of God, and then he departed. And I have felt since then, which was in 1974 or 5, I have felt that I would also like to introduce whoever wants it. I would like to introduce you to the presence of God, to the kingdom of heaven, which is at hand, which is within you. Over the years, I have discovered there are many types of problems that we are confronted with. Some are physical, some are mental, some are financial, some are relationship problems, some are weather, politics, many, many problems. I have discovered that Joel was right. We cannot meet a problem on the level of the problem. And so when confronted with a problem, I have learned that I need to turn away from that. Come within here. Until I make that contact with the presence, which seems to lift me into the kingdom of heaven within me. And there I can rest. I can rest because in that realm, grace abounds. In that realm, grace is the law. Grace is the power. Grace is the presence. And resting in it, I do not know what it does. I only know that when I rest in it, when I abide in the kingdom within me, when I open my eyes, the problem is dissolved. And this I know from hundreds of experiences. Again, there are so many scriptures that have told us this. Take no thought for your life. Abide in me. And so I endeavor now to pass on to you the way and the location of the kingdom of heaven. We have read so many books. We have filled our minds with words, filled our thoughts with scripture. And perhaps we have not experienced yet that kingdom in our midst. And I know there are as many ways to God as there are souls. And so I can only tell you the way that I followed. And I followed the infinite way. If you have that book called The Infinite Way, or perhaps Living the Infinite Way, or even Practicing the Presence, you will find a chapter that tells you that you should begin your day by remembering that presence, that you shouldn't take a bite to eat without remembering that presence, that you shouldn't step out the front door without remembering that presence, that you shouldn't drive your car without remembering that presence. And so, in other words, you should practice that presence 24 hours a day, or at least all of our waking hours. And you can see now, I was in a position where I was hurting so bad that it lit a fire under me to actually be willing to do this, not just to know it with my mind, but to practice it hour in and hour out, second by second, minute by minute. I was remembering God. I was practicing the presence. And the Infinite Way tells us to practice meditation and to begin with contemplation. And that is what I did. 2, 3, 4 times a day, every day, I got quiet for a few minutes with my eyes closed. I might read a paragraph or two, a page or two, but then I would close my eyes and ponder some facet of God or Christ or a statement of Scripture, but I would ponder it until I felt I had pondered enough, and then I would be still inside, and I would say, "Father, speak, for thy servant heareth," and just try to rest back as if resting on omnipresence itself. Now, we are told over and over that by practicing the presence and adding meditation to that, we will have the God experience. That's the promise of the Infinite Way. And I can tell you, I lived that. I did that, and the promise happened to me, as I have described. And now I tell you, once that kingdom, the door to the kingdom was opened, way back there in 1975, the door has never been closed. Today, there is never a day that goes by that I do not feel that inner kingdom, that the presence of Christ or God itself doesn't announce itself to me at some time during the day or night. It is open forever. And I have experienced that at 29,000 feet in the air and out in the middle of the ocean on a cruise line, an ocean liner. I have experienced it in the desert in Northern California. I have experienced it in the tropics of the Everglades in Florida. I have experienced it in Northern Michigan, up near Canada. I have experienced it in New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, Miami. Why? Because I have found the kingdom of heaven. It's no longer just a statement in a book. I have the actual experience of knowing, not in my head, it's not a head experience. It's the actual experience, feeling, sensing, communing, abiding in the kingdom of heaven within me. And so I carry that kingdom of heaven. Now, you know, I'm all of 5'8½" if I stretch a little. The kingdom of heaven, the realm of God, is not in this body. And you know, my IQ is, while it may be above average, is not really the genius level. So the kingdom of heaven, the realm of God, cannot possibly be in my mind. There is a term, we have heard it for so many years, and that term is consciousness. Consciousness. The kingdom of heaven is not in some future time or place. The kingdom of heaven is not in some future attainment. The kingdom of heaven is within my consciousness. The kingdom of heaven is within your consciousness. But you may not know what consciousness is. And it doesn't matter if you do. That won't keep you from the experience. Consciousness has been revealed to me to be invisible, infinite and invisible. Now, how can a little body and a little mind carry the infinite, invisible realm of God, kingdom where that presence dwells, with it. How can a body and a mind carry that kingdom with it? There's something we're not seeing. Something, we're missing something. That little body, that little mind cannot possibly carry the infinite invisible realm of the presence of the living God with it. Can it? What is it we're missing? Where is this kingdom? As I asked that man at 7 years old, where is God? Jesus answered the question. The kingdom of heaven is within you. I have discovered the realm of God, the kingdom where the infinite, invisible presence dwells, is in consciousness. I have discovered I bring it with me because I am consciousness. Consciousness is what I am. And I had an experience, several experiences, that revealed that to me. And so really, it's the other way around, isn't it? Consciousness brings the little mind, the little body with it. The little mind and the little body does not carry the infinite invisible around with it. The infinite invisible, consciousness, moves around all by itself, and the little mind and the little body appears where consciousness is. You have the door to infinity. You have the inner door to the kingdom of heaven, to the realm where the presence of God is, to the realm where grace is law. In the infinite way, if you will practice the presence and the art of meditation, you will enter the kingdom within you. It's an actual experience. You actually feel the descent of that kingdom. Again, the name you give it is not important, whether you call it Christ, God, Father, the Buddha mind, the Tao, the kingdom. You will never find it out here in a book, nor in a person, nor a temple. You will find it the way I have found it, by practice, by pondering, by going within, closing the door on everything of this world, and resting and waiting. It really doesn't matter how many weeks and months that takes for your first experience. If you follow the directions, you will have the experience, and that's the guarantee. And this kingdom, you will learn to abide in me, and let me abide in you. I just love the words that Christ Jesus spoke to the woman at the well. I love them. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that you speak to and who it is that speaks unto you, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living waters that spring up into life everlasting. Such poetry, so beautiful. And yet it's an actual experience. I have experienced, and many others, and perhaps you too. And so you must know, the gift of God is the kingdom of God, the presence of God, the infinite invisible within your own consciousness, and the door to that realm is within you. We learn in the art of spiritual healing that once we have contacted this inner kingdom, from then on it's only necessary to recognize there's no answer out here to this problem. I'm going to drop it. Within is this kingdom. I know because I've felt it. And I'm going to go within now. And what needs to happen is this invisible presence needs to, well, the stone is cut out of the mountain without hands. And so there must be an inner experience of this kingdom. And that's all that's necessary, because when the kingdom is experienced, this world is dissolved. He utters his voice, the earth melteth. And so we become practitioners, even if we don't put out a shingle or go into public practicing. We become practitioners because we are practicing this way of meeting every problem that is presented to us. It just comes. It just evolves. And a problem comes to us and we say, uh-oh, there's a problem, but I can't meet it on the level of the problem. So let me drop it. Now, I go within here. I am here only to make that contact with the kingdom and to rest in it, to abide in it. Let me be still. Father, speak. Father, thy presence. Father, thy kingdom come. And I'm quiet. And very gently, very peacefully, there it is, the presence. Oh, thank you, Father. I rest in thee. Or, thy will be done. Or, yes, thy kingdom is right here within me. And I rest in it, and it flows in me. Thank you. Or just the feeling, here I am, right here within you. And in some way we will never know, contacting that kingdom, abiding in that kingdom, resting in that kingdom, this world is dissolved, piece by piece by piece. One day we have the question, what if I abide in that kingdom and never come out? What then, Lord? And we read in Scripture, abide in me, let my word, my kingdom, abide in you. So shall you be my disciples, so shall you bear fruit richly, abide in me, and let me abide in you. And we have a realization. We are not on earth to meet problem after problem after problem. That's not what we're about. No, we are not here just to be practitioners. We are here to abide in the kingdom within, and let the kingdom within abide in us. We are here to be the kingdom, and that the kingdom might be us. And that is how we glorify the Father, by resting in the kingdom and feeling the kingdom in us. And so, we decide, I'm going to do it. I'm going to practice abiding in the kingdom and letting the kingdom abide in me. Then we understand, oh, I see now, because we start to have experiences. Oh, look, Joel said, you can heal with just a smile. Oh, I understand that now, because I'm not doing anything. I'm abiding in the kingdom and letting the kingdom abide in me. And these things are met without any effort, without knowing any truth, simply by resting. Why, the kingdom itself is melting them. Yes, we begin to have very strange experiences. We start to understand some things. We read in Scripture, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. And then they took up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Now we read that and we have understanding. Jesus hid himself in the kingdom within, and he let the kingdom within live him. And the miracle, he passed through the very midst of them, invisible, and so passed by. And we see other scripture, my life is hid with Christ in God. This makes us go even deeper. And now we understand some things we never saw before. Things which cannot even be spoken nor thought. So deep are they. The kingdom of heaven is within you. You will never feel at home or at rest until you have opened the door and entered the kingdom, the realm of God. Now, here again, Joel's words, as he describes this kingdom at hand. Above this sense life, there is a universe of spirit, governed by love, peopled with children of God, living in the household or temple of truth, which is the kingdom. This world is real and permanent. Its substance is eternal consciousness. In it, there is no awareness of discords or even of temporary and material good. Dwelling in that kingdom within you, you will have no awareness of discords or material good. You will have awareness of the living presence of God. The first glimpse of reality, of the soul realm, the kingdom, comes with the recognition and realization of the fact that all temporary conditions of this world, all temporary conditions and experiences are products of self-hypnotism. With the realization that the entire human scene, its good as well as its evil, is illusion, come the first glimpse and taste of the world of God's creation and of the sons of God who inhabit the spiritual kingdom. There are sons of God who inhabit this kingdom. That means they dwell consciously in this kingdom. The kingdom at hand. And he goes on to tell us what those who dwell in the kingdom are experiencing. He says, our good is flowing from the infinite invisible realm of spirit, soul, to our immediate apprehension. Out of the tremendous resources of soul comes the instant awareness of all that we can utilize for abundant living. No good thing is withheld from us as we look above the physical evidence to the great invisible. Look up, look up. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Again, in another paragraph, he says, as a beggar have I sought the new heaven and the new earth, and thou hast made me heir of all. How shall I stand before thee but in silence? How shall I honor thee but in the meditation of mine heart? I will keep silent before thee. My soul and my spirit and my silence shall be thy dwelling place. Thy spirit shall fill my meditation, and it shall make me and preserve me whole. O thou tender one and true, I am home in thee. And so, at 7 years of age, I sought heaven. And there was no one around to tell me about heaven. All that I received was words, beliefs, concepts about an old heaven that's supposed to exist in a sky somewhere and that I might attain someday. And so I turned to the other half of the world, the eastern half, and I was given another old concept of heaven, one that I could attain after reincarnation after reincarnation, when I was so purified that I was completely free of self. And then I turned to the infinite way. I practiced the presence out of pain, because I had to keep my sanity. I thought of God 24 hours a day. And I practiced meditation as if my life depended on it. Oh, I don't mean frantic. I mean with my total focus, with my total being. Yes, I relaxed, I rested, but I focused all of me within. And then it happened. The experience came. The first glimpse. The door opened. I felt the presence, the realm of God, the kingdom of heaven. And I was shown a new heaven. A new heaven. Not anything like it says in the books. Because when you experience it, it is unlike any of the words. It is a spiritual realm that you cannot describe. and dwelling in this realm over and over, coming often to this inner door, abiding in this kingdom, and letting this kingdom abide in me, I was told, behold, I shall make all things new. And since then I have experienced not only this new heaven, but a new earth, as this heaven has melted the old one. And so I am standing in the promise. And here is the promise. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. This then is the promise that has become the living experience for John. And as I reviewed the writings of Joel, I found out this has become the living experience of Joel. And now I tell you, this has become the living experience of me. It's no longer just words. It's no longer thoughts. The tabernacle of God is with men, and he dwells in our midst, and he is with us, and he is our God, our Father, our very own consciousness. I went to bed last night with two words pressing from within: the kingdom. I had no idea what this talk was going to be until today, when I sat down to meditate, and it was there again, along with the actual experience of the kingdom. Let me tell you, Joel was not special. I certainly know I'm not special. No one is special. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The door is open. You must go within until you abide in it, and it abides in you. These are not future events. Right now, I experience the new heaven and the new earth. Right now, God tabernacles with me, and I with him. We commune together in this inner kingdom, the realm where God is. And touching this, the world is made new. Within you now, the infinite invisible is calling. Open the door. Come within. Abide in me. Let my word, my presence, abide in you. So be it.